Well, good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see you today. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Here in chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul is writing about the works of light and darkness. And he gives some instruction on over in the chapter. I want us to begin reading, if you would please, in verse 18. And we'll read down through verse 21. Love to hear those pages turning. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Today I want to share a message with you on the subject, be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray one more time. Father, we have come here today to worship you and to hear your word. I pray that we're hungry to hear your word today, that we're eager to hear your word. And I pray that you will help me to communicate your word to your people in such a way that everyone here will understand. And I pray that you will use your word to touch our hearts, that you will challenge us, convict us, and cause us, Lord, to respond in obedience to your word. Your word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It can penetrate to the deepest recesses of a person's being. And it is the Word of God that you use through the power of your Holy Spirit to teach us, to reach us, to save us. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do a work in us through the preaching and teaching of your Word. I pray that you will help us to hear the Word of God, not just with our ears, but with our minds and our hearts, and help us to receive it. May it be planted in good soil, the soil of good hearts, so that the Word can be watered and it can burst forth fruit. And that fruit can be born in our lives so that others can see Jesus Christ in us. So, Father, help us now. Speak to us. And I pray that each of us who are here are willing to make whatever decisions your Spirit will lead us to make at the close of this service during the invitation. So, Father, we listen attentively now with our hearts and minds, waiting to hear from you, our God. Thank you, Father, for giving us the privilege and the pleasure of being here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last Sunday morning, I shared out of the little epistle of 1 John on how a believer can have full assurance of his or her salvation. If you recall, in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." And from that text and from the little epistle of 1 John, I shared four things with you that John gives us in that book of the Bible as to how we can have assurance. Four things that will give us assurance of our salvation. Well, today I want us to continue thinking about the believer's assurance. And as we do, I want to share the main reason. Now listen to me carefully. I want to share the main reason, what I consider to be the main reason, that believers in Jesus Christ lack assurance. And what is it? It is that they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as a glass of water can contain less water when you drink from that glass, so it is if you and I neglect our spiritual lives. We become empty. We become dry. We will dry up on the vine if we're not continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so this morning, I hope that you will listen carefully and attentively, not because I'm presenting the message, but because it is God's Word. And here in our text that is before us this morning, the Bible says that we're to be filled with the Spirit. Listen to this. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That is a commandment. It is something that we are commanded to do in the Word of God. It is something that you and I should seek doing. Being filled with the Spirit of God. And so this morning, I want us to consider four things in this message. First of all, I want us to consider, what kind of relationship does the believer have with the Holy Spirit? Because you see, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the third person of the Trinity. Now, I know this is difficult for anyone to understand. It is difficult for me to explain. I don't know that any minister anywhere can fully understand and fully explain the Godhead. But I do believe the Bible teaches us that God is three in one. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus praying to the Father. We see Jesus referring to the Father. We look in the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament, the Bible speaks of the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, in the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. It was the Spirit of God that caused creation. Because God is Spirit. And so when we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God, we're talking about the third person of the Trinity. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, when he gave us the Great Commission, he said, "I want you to go and baptize. I want you to go and proclaim the gospel, then bring them in and baptize them in the name of the Father, in name of the Son, and in name of the Holy Spirit." The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came and the New Testament believers began to speak in other tongues. They began to, listen, to exemplify a movement of God on them like no one had ever seen before or they had ever experienced before. Why? Because the Spirit of God was moving on them. It is the Spirit of God that draws a person to salvation. It is the Holy Spirit that Jesus said, now listen to this. Jesus said, "You can blaspheme the Father, you can blaspheme the Son, but you better not ever blaspheme the Spirit." That is an unforgivable sin. So we're talking about the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit in the life of every single believer. And that, listen, we begin a relationship with the Spirit even, I think, before salvation. We don't know it, but it's consummated in salvation. But the Holy Spirit is the one that begins and initiates the whole process that brought us to Jesus if we're here saved. If you're here today and you've never been saved, or you're watching today and you've never been saved, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is the one that will initiate the process that will bring you to Jesus Christ and bring you to salvation. He will consummate that salvation experience in your life. So the Holy Spirit of God is vitally important in our lives. And so today, what kind of relationship does the believer have with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, I want you to know that at conversion, at the moment of conversion and salvation, the believer experiences a what the Bible refers to as a spiritual baptism by the Holy Ghost. Now, our Pentecostal brothers and sisters believe that there is a second type blessing that is beyond the salvation experience whereby one receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the way I understand the scripture, the Bible teaches us that the moment that we're saved and born again, we are right at that moment, we experience a spiritual baptism. It is not a water baptism. That is something totally different. The Bible that I'm going to read in just a moment refers to a spiritual baptism at the moment of conversion. Now listen to what Paul said here in this text in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. He says, "For by one spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, are we all, A-L-L, which is encompasses every single believer in every generation. He says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now that word baptized there refers to the spiritual baptism. Being baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made and have been all made to drink into one spirit. And so at the moment of conversion, we experience a spiritual baptism, so to speak. It is a supernatural, spiritual event that takes place in a person's heart and life. And so that spiritual baptism takes place at conversion. And when one is generated at that moment, not only does that spiritual baptism take place, but then the Holy Spirit comes to live within the body of the person who has been regenerated. Now, John 7, 37 through 39, these are the words of Jesus. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, now listen to this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so what that's referring to is the day of Pentecost, and again, that I referred to a moment ago, that happened in Acts chapter 2, after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus back to heaven. Jesus had given a promise. The Old Testament prophets gave a promise that there was coming a day when the Spirit of God would come on men and women. And the day of Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2. And the Bible declares that that day, all of those believers were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as God gave them utterance. And so the Holy Spirit came. And from that day and that moment, every single believer who is saved and born again into the family of God experiences a spiritual baptism and an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into their body and their heart, and they, listen, that body, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to read that in just a moment. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Paul says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the moment that we're saved, we experience that spiritual baptism. We receive the person, the gift, and the person of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And at conversion, the Holy Spirit, at that moment, He seals the believer. Listen to this in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So listen, look at the progression. Look at the steps in the process. He says, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard. You heard the word of truth. You heard the gospel of your salvation. Then you trusted the gospel. You trusted Christ and you believed in Him. And at that moment, you were spiritually baptized and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. He came to live within your life, within your body, and He became the seal of your eternal destiny. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance and the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And then the Bible declares that the Holy Spirit abides in the believer's life to serve as a comforter, a guide, an encourager, a counselor. Jesus said, he told his disciples before he was crucified, he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send someone to you. I'm going to send you the comforter. The comforter. And he was referring to none other than the Holy Spirit. However, after we are saved and we experience that spiritual baptism, the Holy Spirit of God comes into our life. We're converted, we're saved, we're born again. And he remains in our body, and our body becomes his temple, his dwelling place. And he seals us on the day of redemption. Did you know the Bible says that after salvation, we are commanded here in Ephesians chapter 5, and this verse that I read in verse 18, that then we're to be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's interesting here when you begin to look at this, it's this text. This is when he commands us, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. To me, that is a commandment. That is a commandment. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's interesting to note that this is in the present plural passive imperative. Now, what does that mean, preacher? That simply means that a believer is to be continually filled with the Spirit. Now, listen to me carefully. Doesn't it stand to reason that if he commands us to be continually filled with the Spirit, that means that it's possible not to be filled with the Spirit? It absolutely does. Why would he tell us to continually be filled with the Spirit if we're not possible not to be filled with the Spirit? And so we find here in the text, he says, you need to be continually filled with the Spirit. In other words, the fullness of the Spirit is a repeated experience for believers. So that means that you and I need to seek God's filling every single day. We need to seek God's filling every day and ask God to fill us with his Spirit. I'm going to tell you how you can do that before we get through this message this morning, Lord willing. And my goodness, my time is going. But the filling of the Spirit, now listen to me carefully. In my understanding of the Scripture, and I know I'm not the wisest person, I'm not the greatest person in the world, but in my understanding and my study of the Scripture, the filling of the Spirit is not about how much of the Spirit we have. Are you listening? It's not about how much of the Spirit we have. When we receive salvation, we receive the Spirit. We receive the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit doesn't have as much to do with how much that we have of the Spirit, but how much the Spirit has of us. When we're filled with the Spirit will be in full control of our lives. When a person, and get this, he says in this verse, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Why do you suppose Paul inserted that in that verse? Because he wanted us to understand what he was saying here about being filled with the Spirit. When a person is under the influence of alcohol, and believe me, I know what that's like. I hate to say that, but I do. Many years ago, before I was ever saved, when I was a young man, and my daddy was an alcoholic, I know what liquor can do for you. I know what it can do to you. And brother, it's not good. But he says here in this verse, he says, be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, why he said that was simply this, that when a person is under the influence of alcohol, their life is controlled by it. And so it is when a person is filled with the Spirit. If a Christian is filled with the Spirit of God, then guess what? That person is going to be under the control and the influence of the Spirit of God in his or her life. And that is exactly where God wants us every moment of every day, is to be filled with the Spirit of God and be under his influence. And so if one lives daily under the influence of the Spirit, then one will live in obedience to God and enjoy sweet fellowship with him, and which will give the Christian full assurance of his or her relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I've come to the conclusion that the reason that many people doubt, and sometimes it's because I have doubted, the reason that people doubt their salvation is because they're not filled with the Spirit of God. If we were continually filled with the Spirit of God, there would be no doubt, there would be no question. Because the Spirit of God would be so real to us, God would be so real to us. But what happens is we're not always filled. And our glass, so to speak, gets almost empty. Paul even referred to how a Christian needs to seek that fervor, that fire that one had at salvation. Do you remember that? Man, I remember it seemed like the fire was a lot stronger then than it is even now in my life. And I'm very passionate about what I do. But there's something about being born again. And when you have that fresh encounter with God, you met Him for the first time and He becomes so real to you. And there's just this fire in your bones and you can't shut up about Jesus. You want to witness to everybody. You want to tell everybody you see and everybody you know about Jesus Christ. We all need that refreshing and that refilling. So the second thing I think we need to consider is this. How is one continuously filled with the Spirit? Well, let me give you a few things here that I hope will be helpful. Number one, daily surrender and submission to the Spirit's influence. Daily surrender and submission to the Spirit's influence. In Ephesians, look at our text now. In Ephesians 5 and 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, Paul contrasts being filled with the Spirit with being drunk on wine, implying that a Spirit-filled person is one whose thoughts and actions are under the Spirit's influence rather than their own, or rather than the world's. And so in order for us to have that daily filling, first of all, we must fully surrender and submit ourselves to God every day. Now, I want you to ask yourself the question, please. This is for your benefit, not mine, but for yours. I want you to ask yourself the question as I have had to ask myself the question. Am I daily, are you listening? Am I surrendering and submitting myself fully and totally to the Lord daily? That is a willful and deliberate choice that every one of us make. We have to make that choice every day. And if we don't make that choice, guess what? If we don't choose to allow God to direct us and lead us, guess somebody else is going to do it. Either self or Satan or the world. We allow those things to influence us in a negative and ungodly way. So that's why submission and being submissive to the Spirit and God is so important. There's a second thing that we can do, and that is there must be a daily petition to God for a filling. Listen to this. I came across this verse and I thought, man, listen to this. Luke 11, 13. Jesus said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Did you hear that? What? Let me read that. Let me be sure we all got that, okay? He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, those who are saved already have the Holy Spirit. But if we want a filling of the Spirit, we've got to ask for it. Go to God. Be submissive. Listen, submit ourselves fully and totally to Him. That should be the first thing we do every morning. Fall on our knees by our bed and say, Lord, this is a day you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Lord, I submit myself as best I know how. I submit myself fully and totally to you, Lord. I want to do whatever you say do, whenever you say do it, however you say do it. And Lord, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. And help me to be everything that you want me to be today. It'll change your life. It'll change your focus. When we get up in the morning time, most of the time, and I'm just as guilty as any of you, first thing comes to mind is what I've got to do today, what I've got on the agenda, I look at my calendar. If I got something I got to go to early this morning, you know, I look at it the night before. First thing I do, look at it in the morning time. It's always something, 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 something going on. Being close to God and being filled with His Spirit can, listen, is the most important thing in life. We can't do what we need to do throughout the day unless we have Him helping us. Number three. Immediate confession and repentance of sin. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, there must be immediate confession and repentance of sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Spirit. Number four, daily absorb God's Word. Daily absorb God's Word. Ingesting and digesting God's Word is essential in spiritual nourishment and aligning one's mind with God's will. You see, as we get into the Word of God, we understand more of the will of God. People often ask, well, you know, I just don't know God's will in this situation. I don't understand God's will in my life. Well, most of God's will, I mean, there are certain things we're maybe uncertain about, but most of what God wants us, all of what He wants us to know is in the Word. And if we're ingesting and digesting the Word of God, then we'll know what God is saying to us. And so we must daily absorb God's Word. There's a third thing I want us to consider this morning very quickly, and that is, what are the results of being filled with the Spirit? Well, let's look here at the text, back in our text in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 19. He says, speaking, watch this now. He says in verse 18, he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so what he's talking about here is that when you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, number one, there's going to be heartfelt worship. Heartfelt worship. You see, a Spirit-filled life is marked, according to the Scripture, it is marked by joyful, heartfelt worship and praise expressed through music and song directed toward God. And that's what we were doing earlier. Praising the Lord, focusing on Him, singing to Him, rather than just standing here singing words and going through traditional singing songs on Sunday morning. No, we should be singing to the Lord. Because we're singing about Him. Sing those words back to Him. Worship Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. So there must be heartfelt worship. Or will be heartfelt worship. Secondly, there will be, listen to this, there will be sincere gratitude in the heart of a person who's filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as one is filled with the Spirit develops a heart of gratitude directed toward the Lord Jesus, who has given us all good and perfect gifts, the Bible says in the book of James. And then there'll be humble submission. Look in verse 21. He said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There'll be submission first to the Lord and then to one another, and then all things will be done out of the fear of the Lord. Are in the fear of the Lord. And then finally, there'll be another thing that will be present. That'll be spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. One that is filled with the Spirit of God will exemplify spiritual fruit. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And then number five, there will be a bold witness. A person who is filled with the Spirit of God will witness for Jesus Christ. In Acts 4, 8 through 10, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, Acts 4, 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. You show me a person who's filled with the Spirit of God, and I'll show you a person who will be a witness for Jesus Christ and will not back up when it comes to sharing the truth of God's Word. They won't worry about it. They'll do it because it's in them. The Spirit of God who lives in them is motivating them, urging them to speak the truth in love. Well, very quickly, let me conclude this message by giving you the fourth and final consideration. And that is, why aren't all Christians filled with the Spirit? Why aren't all Christians filled with the Spirit? I want to give you three reasons. There could be more or others, but I want to give you three that came to my mind. Number one is ignorance. Ignorance. You say, what do you mean? I simply mean that many have never been taught about the Holy Spirit and the need to be filled. Do you know, I remember a time in my early Christian life, about the time I was saved, even a little before then, the time I was saved, and even about a year after I was saved, do you know, I never heard any sermons on the Holy Spirit. Used to, that was a no-no. The Baptists didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. That was up to the Pentecostals. I'm here to tell you something, folks. The Holy Spirit is God, and if it were not for the Holy Spirit, you and I wouldn't be saved today. He's all over the Word of God because He is God. So don't ever be ashamed to talk to the Holy Spirit, to use His name. He is who He is, but many people have never been taught about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives and what He can do and desires to do in their life. Number two, many Christians are not filled with the Spirit of God because they neglect their spiritual life. They neglect the Word of God, they neglect prayer, and they neglect assembling themselves together to worship. They do not worship privately, nor do they worship corporately. And then they neglect feeding themselves with the Word of God, but they neglect, listen, they feed themselves with unchristlike things. The music that we listen to, the things that we read, the TV shows or movies that we watch, that is filled with foul language and violence and bloodshed, it affects us. That's why to this day, that's why people can get murdered in the streets of our cities and lay in pools of blood, and people walk by and just shake their head. It doesn't faze them. Why? Because of all of this stuff that we've allowed into our lives through television, through social media. We watch it all the time. It's nothing anymore. That's why life is not meaningful to people anymore. Human life is not sacred to many people anymore. That's why there are so many abortions today. I get pregnant. Person gets pregnant, I'll just get rid of this one. I don't need it. Didn't want it. I'll just have an abortion. When you do that, you're committing murder. There's a third thing. Listen to this one now. Number one is ignorance. Number two is neglect of one's spiritual life. The number three is resistance to the Spirit's control. Resistance to the Spirit's control. Some people avoid fully embracing the Spirit of God out of fear of losing control or having their comfortable routines disrupted. And according to the Bible, this action quenches the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." You know what quench means. If you've got a fire, you build a fire, and you want it to go out, guess what you do? You quench it by throwing water on it, or by suffocating it out. And that's what we do sometimes with the Spirit. The Spirit is welling up on the inside of us and telling us to do something or leading us to do something. And what we want to do, we want to throw fire on that. We want to throw water on the fire of the Spirit of God inside of us, or we want to suppress it and push it down and push it down and push it down. I want to tell you something. When we as believers begin to do that and we begin to quench and to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, discipline is coming. Not only that, but think about what a blessing we will miss by not being obedient to God. And think about what a blessing someone else will miss if God is leading us to do something for someone and we choose not to do it, simply because we refuse or we resist the Spirit's control in our life. I want to remind you of a verse of Scripture. And I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but just to paraphrase, the Bible says that we as believers have been bought with a price, which is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are God's. You see, when you and I were saved and born again, we should have fully surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus at that moment. Our life is no longer our own. We don't have right to it. If we're saved, if we surrendered our heart and life to Jesus and embraced Him and committed our life to Him, we don't have a right to our life. He is our life. And we should walk in obedience to Him. That doesn't mean God does not want us to have a life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if we have a life given to us through the Spirit and the power of God, that life is God's life. It is living in us. It is not our own. We are not our own. We are His. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we need to live our life every day whereby we glorify God with everything we say and do, with our spirits and with our minds and our bodies. God is using us to the utmost every day. Don't you want to be used of God? Don't you? Don't you want to see some evidence in your life that God is using you for good, to help others, that He's using you for His glory, that will bring glory to Him? I don't know about you, but I pray for that. God, I pray every day, Lord, make me a blessing. Use me today, Lord, to help someone. In conclusion, listen to me carefully now. If you want all of the Spirit and what He offers, you must give the Spirit all of you. If you want all the Spirit offers, you must give the Spirit all of you. That means you must fully surrender everything to God. It's so easy for us as believers. We surrender when we get saved. Hopefully that's what happened. I question if it's genuine, if it doesn't happen at conversion. But when we get saved, we surrender everything to Him. We receive Him as our Lord and our Savior. We're so happy. But somehow as we walk on through life and we just put God back on the back burner sometimes, and we begin to take over our life again, and we begin to doing all what we want to do, and we're not concerned at all about what God would have us do. We're just living life. I would hope and pray that every one of us here today would give Jesus full control. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, or you're watching this morning and you've never been saved and born again, I want to encourage you to give Jesus control of your life. Surrender your life wholly and fully to Him. And let Him have full access to your life, to your will. Surrender your will to His will. Let your will become His will. And let Him do a great work in you and through you. There's some of you sitting here this morning that God wants to use in a tremendous way. But you've been reneging on God. And you're no more surrendered to Him than this table. I surrender all. Could you say that this morning to God? Lord, I just surrender all to You. Take my life. Use me, Lord. If you're not saved, oh, how I pray you'll be saved today. The Holy Spirit will draw you, convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. You'll be so convicted of your sin and your separation and your lostness that the Holy Spirit of God will so convict you that you'll have to come forward this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I want Jesus as my Lord and my Savior." You may be here today a believer, but you know you're not where you once were, and you know you're not where you need to be and should be. And God is speaking to you right now this morning. You need to come.